encourage you to go home and read Mark chapter 4 today. We're just going to highlight one parable out of Mark chapter 4. There's a lot to learn out of Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. We're going to talk about the parable of the growing seed today is the title of this message. And, you know, I was thinking about today. Of course, I see most of you have your green on. Today's St. Patrick's Day. And so I was thinking, you know, of course, green. Everybody turn around and look at Travis with his tie on. I had to do it, Travis. He's got the big old tie in the sound booth. I can't take my sound guy serious today. Every time I look back there, he's got that big old tie on. So I was thinking about, you know, just the color green, and green means growth. We just come out of a series on the book of Ruth, and I encourage you to get that. I heard it was kind of neat hearing feedback from somebody. My daughter does a lot of softball lessons, and she was telling me about that there was a lady that listened to the KECO on Sunday mornings, because it's our services are a week later. They're broadcast on KECO in the mornings, and somebody was following us going through the book of Ruth, and she was like, I really learned a lot about the book of Ruth and about my relationship with God. So that blessed my socks off to hear that. And so I hope, you know, if you weren't here for that series, you can go back. Travis is the guy that does our podcast at hfchurch.com, and you can get the podcast of that. But green means growth, and today is March the 17th, St. Patty's Day. I learned something from my dad. So how many of you are planting gardens this year? We're going to plant one in our backyard here in Leedy. We did this last year, and it was neat. We were able to have a garden plumb up into November. It was in November when we stopped picking our garden. But it's time to plant a garden right now. Some of you may say, well, it's too late. No, it's not too early. I shouldn't say too late. It's not too early. I was talking to my dad, and dad said, you know, on St. Patty's Day, that's when you start putting the stuff in the ground, the potatoes, the carrots, the radishes, the onions, the stuff that's underground. That's when you do it now. Then you wait till around Easter, I guess it was, to start planting the other stuff. And, of course, I remember, it wasn't too long ago, I remember it snowing on Easter. So it's garden time. So I'm thinking about, you know, that was also going through my mind about our garden last year and planting it. And green means growth. And so it led me into studying something that Jesus taught about. And I've read this before and have read it. And I feel like I've gained some more revelation from it, some understanding. It's really simple, but I've made it too hard. And so I'm going to teach you today a spiritual principle on how the kingdom of God works in you. The kingdom of God, the Bible, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in us. The seed has been planted in you, that God seed. And how it starts to germinate is when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That seed is there. But I'm going to teach you this spiritual principle on how the kingdom of God works in your life, and Jesus was the one that taught this. Now, we're going to pray here in just a second, because I want the teacher to teach through me today, because I love what Charles Capps says. He's a man that's went home to be with the Lord, but he was a great Bible teacher, just a simple farmer. I love what he said. He said, the Bible is so simple that you have to have somebody else help you misunderstand it. And I don't want to be that guy, okay, to help you misunderstand it, because the Bible is that simple. And Jesus was very simplistic on how he taught how the kingdom of God operated. So before we get in the Word, let's pray, okay? Father, Father, thank you for this time together this morning, and I just pray for myself I just pray that you teach through me today, God. But then also, Lord, I pray that you anoint the ears to hear what they need to hear for their own individual lives. Lord, I know all the things I say, but I know as why I'm talking up here and teaching your word, the Holy Spirit's at work, planting seeds and sharing things with people that I never even said. That's the power of the word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way in here. You're the teacher, you're the counselor, you're the comforter. But Lord, I also know that we're going to be challenged through this today as well. because, Lord, you planted your seed in us, the incorruptible word of God, so that you would reap a harvest. And so, Lord, we want to be good farmers. We want to also be good soil today. And so, Lord, just reveal to us what needs to be revealed to each one of us today, God, and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to, this small passage is what we're going to look at today. This is the parable of the growing seed that Jesus taught his disciples and the people that were with him this day. And it says this, he says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Okay, that's very small passage of scripture, very simple. And Jesus was out teaching his disciples one day, and that's how they farmed back then. They scattered seed, and there was somebody doing that in a field next to where Jesus was at when I was studying this, and Jesus used that to teach a kingdom principle. We got steps in here, and I want to show you something. God, for me to get up on this stage, I have to use steps, right? Everybody see that? If I come down. God works in steps in our lives. I'm only going to do this one more time, or I'm going to be out of breath, okay? God works in steps in our lives. He does not work in leaps and bounds. Okay. God works in small steps. Doesn't work. If I was to get up here, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to even do it trying to get up there, Carmen wants me to. I can tell. Carmen's like, do it. No, I'm not even going to try it. But if I try to do that in a leap or a bound, I'm going to hurt myself. And if there's anybody around me, I'm going to hurt them too, because I'm going to grab them and pull them down with me. So this is this principle that Jesus is teaching, this kingdom principle. He is telling us that God works in steps, not leaps and bounds. And Psalms 37, verse 23, we won't turn there. We looked at this here a week or so ago. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can't skip steps. Look at somebody and say, you can't skip steps. You can't. You can't expect a harvest without first planting the seed in a good soil. You never see a farmer out there at his field, and he's never sowed, or he's never plowed, he's never sowed the seed, and he's not standing out there at his field and like, where's the harvest? You know, where's my corn at? Where's my wheat at? He's like, dummy, you never planted a seed. You never broke up the ground. And a lot of times we do that in our walks with God. We're like, God, show up. God, where are you at? And God's like, you hadn't done anything. You hadn't done anything for me to show up to. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. There's a part that we play in this. We partner with God, and God wants to put the supernatural upon your natural, but there's things that we have to do in the natural. Faith is not mystical. If you can understand, this is basically what Jesus was saying. I'm going to redneck phrase this. If you can understand how a seed works, you can understand how God is going to bring about a harvest in your life. And it's going to happen through a series of steps or progression. And you may want to write this down. This is the spiritual principle that Jesus is teaching is the law of progression. Steps. As I've studied the Word of God, and there was one time I was studying the Word of God, two verses of Scripture jumped out at me in Exodus. It's also found in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read you the one out of Exodus. And it's about the children of Israel when they go over into the promised land. And most of us know that story. If you've been around church at any length of time, you know about the children of Israel being in Egypt under slavery for 400 and some years. And then God delivers them by his mighty hand. He's taking them into the promised land. And a lot of people get this misconstrued, is they think that the promised land is like a type and shadow of heaven. And the promised land is not a type and shadow of heaven. The promised land is a type and shadow to us as believers today, looking in the New Testament and it teaching us, the promised land is a type and shadow of the overcoming Christian life. That's what the type and shadow is. And I often wondered, you know, if you know that story, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Bible says, and you can find this out, search this out, and make sure I'm teaching you right, the Bible says they could have made that journey in 11 days, and it took them 40 years. And so you have to wonder, okay, that if you're any kind of a student of the Word, you got to ask why. And so when you study it out, you find out that there were mindsets that needed to change. They still had a slave mentality, living in slavery, and they weren't getting that freedom mentality that God wanted them to have. And so that's why it took the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness for them to get the mindset. Now, Joshua and Caleb had the right mindset, if you've ever studied that out. We always want to name our young boys Joshua or Caleb because they had the right mindset. He was like, give it to me. Give me the promised land. God said that we could have it. That's ours. And the Bible even says they were of a different spirit. I want to be of a different spirit. Amen. I want to have my mind renewed according to the Word of God. I want to live the overcoming Christian life. But I have to put myself in the process of getting this Word, which is the seed of God, getting this is the incorruptible seed of God. I've got to get this into my heart, which is the soil, for it to produce any kind of fruit. And so while I was studying, I came across this scripture about the children of Israel. I told you all this to tell you this. Verses 29 through 30 says, "But I will," this is what God is saying to him, "but I will not drive them out in a single year," talking about the people that were in the promised land, the giants, the people that were there. I don't have time to get into all that teaching on that. But because the land, it says this, "because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you." One translation says the land would grow up in weeds and overtake you. If you have a garden, if you've done any planting or have a field, you understand what I'm talking about. Verse 30 says, "Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land." Even the children of Israel going in the promised land, there were steps of progression, little by little. Here's another scripture that goes with it, Isaiah 28, verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." That's how the kingdom of God works. It does not work in leaps and bounds. That's how the kingdom of God works in us. And we have to be in step with what my prayer is for Jade and I when I pray, God, keep us in step with you. I don't want to be behind you, but I sure don't want to be ahead of you. I want to be in step with God as he's working in my life. And I want to renew my mind according to the Word of God so I can stay in step with God. Is everybody getting this? Is this helping somebody? All right, here's the other thing that I want to tell you. Before we get into the law of progression, you've got to understand two things what Jesus was saying, and I encourage you to read Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 tells us that the seed is God's Word. I've been telling you that. The seed is God's Word. Get it in your heart. That's why, I'm going to teach you every Sunday, I promise, to help you get it in your heart, but you need to have a daily devotional time. You need to get this. We have these available and I've had great feedback about our daily devotionals. Get this, it's just a paragraph long, it doesn't take you very long. It gets the Word in you. That's why I send you a scripture every morning. It gets the Word in you. That Word is powerful. That Word is bringing life to you as you read it, as you get it into your heart. You've got to believe that. And here's the other thing. The soil is you. Look at, say, the soil, I'm the dirt. Say, I'm the dirt. All right. Now, the soil is your heart, and I'm just going to give you a few things to check the soil. I'm in the process of selling some land. Most of you know that I'm the real estate preacher, and the guy went out and he took a soil sample of the dirt on this land so that he knows what he can plant and not plant and what he needs to do to make this place, you know, produce. And I feel like when I heard him that he was going to be doing that, I thought, you know, we need, and I was preparing this message, I was thinking about this message, we need to do that ever so often with us, is take a soil sample and really get in, and it's not for anybody else to judge, this is between you and God. between you and God, take a soil sample and say, God, am I producing? Am I producing anything for your kingdom? And I'm just going to give you some things that I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me that stops your soil from producing. We can all default to weeds, right? I don't want weeds. I hate weeds. But here's some things to check your heart. And I wrote several of them down. This list is you know, it could go. The Holy Spirit may tell you some things that I don't even have on the list this morning. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's telling you, because He knows you better than I do. Amen. Check your motives. Your motives. Why are you doing what you do? Your heart motives. Check your pride. Here's another one. Check your attitudes. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Who has despised the day of small beginnings?" Don't despise the day that you put this word in the ground, in your heart, just because you're not going to see anything that first time, that first day you put the word in your heart. It takes time for it to grow, okay? So don't despise the day of small beginnings. That's what Zechariah said. Don't despise the day of small things. Here's another one, living in the past. You're never, that is such a trick. That's like, that's the enemy, you know. He's destroying your crop by making you live in the past, because your constant thoughts are about what happened in the past, what happened in the past, what happened in the past. And the Lord is wanting to say, I'm wanting to create a good field here and a future here, but I can't do it when you're constantly living in the past. It's a trick of the enemy. He does it to us all. He's done it to me before. But you cannot live in the past. Amen. God wants you to live in the present and live for the future. And then another thing that just stops stuff from growing in your life is unforgiveness. Wow. And it's a big one. And there's some of you in here that I've walked through some things with unforgiveness, but there's some of you in here that's walked through some things way, you know, and I'm like, Lord. And it leaves you thinking, Lord, how am I going to do it? Well, you're not going to do it. But the Holy Spirit through you will help you do it, help you to forgive. But He needs you to choose to do it. He needs your choice to work with. Because in and of yourselves, you can't do it, but He needs your choice to do that. And here's, just to go with this, this is here what Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10 says. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Keep planting those seeds. Keep planting the good seeds is what he's saying. All right, here's what progression means. Here's a good definition of progression. Progression is the process of developing or moving gradually towards a more advanced state. As you age, you ought to be getting better and better and better. And I'm not talking natural age, even though we ought to be getting better and better every year as well. But I'm also talking about as in our walks with God, no matter, you know, whether you came in the kingdom 20 years ago or 10 years or just moments ago, you ought to be getting better and better and better and learning and getting more of the word in you, more productions happening. And everybody said, amen. And this, and what I'm talking about today, even though I'm talking about in our walks with God, but this will help you in your marriage. Jade and I have been married for, oh no, I just put myself on the spot. This will be 27 years this year that we've been married. Our marriage ought to be getting better every year. And it is, isn't it, babe? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. She responded correctly. Our marriage is getting better and better every year. Not to say that we haven't had hiccups and we hadn't had the times, but we've progressed. We've learned. We've grown together. You can take this over into business, this principle, the law of progression in business. You don't start out all overnight with having everything. You start, it goes little by little by little. As you know, we have a lot of young people today, and I'm going to pick on the young people for a little bit, that they think they ought to be where mom and dad are immediately after they get out of college, but they haven't gone through the things, and Kent and Jennifer are laughing at me, They understand what I'm talking about. They think they ought to be where mom and dad's at now, but they haven't been through anything yet. Amen? And there's things that life experiences teach you. And this is the principle. This is the kingdom of God at work. Another one is finances. It's a little by little. Everybody wants, you know, I pray, God, send me $1 million, and here's the deal. I wouldn't know what to do if I had it. And number two, it'd probably corrupt me, because what money does to people is it brings out what's already in your heart. And because it hasn't come already, I know God's saying I don't need it. Now, I'm trying to get myself ready for it, amen, but that million comes little by little, saving little by little by little, amen. All right, finances, natural growth, even in the natural, how we grow naturally. It, the same principle, what happens in the spirit realm happens in the natural. We grow little by little. Church life, and I'm going to talk more about the church here in just a second, but even the church grow. You know, we didn't start out in this building. We grew into this building. So here are the three steps, and I'm going to relate it to our life. The law of progression that Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. And so the first step is the stalk. That's the first thing that comes out of the ground after from that seed is the stalk. Now, here's the deal. It's not, you know, most Christians, when we see the stalk, we start getting excited, and we're like, it's harvest time. No, it's not. It's not harvest time yet. So don't put your sickle away. There's still things you've got to do and take care of this stalk that's growing. And the best analogy that I can give you, because I want to, this is a challenging word, I know, for all of us to grow. I mean, God is, I think there was one time I was praying, I was like, God, what do you want for the body of Christ? And this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me. I want it to grow up. I want the body of Christ to grow up. And I was like, wow, you know, Lord, am I growing? It had to make me, you know, I had to look in my own life. And so I'm going to use some analogies that are funny, because I think it helps us to learn. But we all get excited over that stalk when we first see it, and then we automatically think, you know, we've arrived and we're such a high and mighty Christian and we're mature and all this. And God's like, no, not yet. You're not. And so best analogy I can give you is no woman ever gave birth to a full-grown adult. They don't. And all the women are like, amen. You know, that just don't happen. You give birth to a baby. In fact, Jade and I are going this week on Thursday to see our little baby on an ultrasound, so we're excited about that. Our grandson, she's not having a baby, by the way. Don't get that rumor started. We're going to see our grandbaby on that 4D ultrasound. But you think about the process, and I'm just going to simplify this real quick, but, you know, the process of birth and a baby, you know, they the first thing that they learn is they roll over, then they crawl, then they walk, and then they start learning to talk. Then they ride a bike with training wheels. Then they ride a bike without training wheels. And then they drive a car, and then they leave home, and everybody praises God. No, but that's kind of the progression. But that's the progression of a baby. And there's that same progression that happens in the spirit, too. And when I was preparing this, and I'm going to share something that I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, and I know it's going to make us all go like this, and it's also going to make us all really look at our own dirt. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, Mark, a lot of Christians never break ground in their lifetimes. I'm not saying that you're not saved. Don't hear that. I'm not saying that you're not going to go to heaven, but they never break ground. And you can go back to this, because we're all dirt, because of impure motives, because of pride, because of attitudes, because of living in the past, because of unforgiveness, and the list goes on and on and on and on. That seed just stays there in the dirt and never even produces a stalk. Oh, no. You know, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Lord. And I've seen a lot of weeds in my garden, I promise you. And I want to be a Christian that produces fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so here's the second step. You go from the stalk to the head. And this is where, and I'm just kind of giving you this in our walks with God. This is what happens. And if you're getting here, then you realize you're growing, okay? You get to this point where you realize that your life is not your own. You're here to use your life experiences to minister to others. You see people through the eyes of Jesus. You have compassion for others. Life is not all about you and what you want, but what God wants from your life, meaning you are totally surrendered to God in every area of your life. You're surrendered spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally. Every area of your life is surrendered to God because you want to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Can you honestly say that your life is there right now? And you know, I was thinking about this with the growth of our church. For most of you know the story, some of you don't, but we started in our garage up on 7th Street, and we had a few people coming, and we met in our garage, and that was a challenge because we had a cat at that time. And so I can remember Jada lighting candles every Sunday to get the cat smell out of the garage, and I'd take the cat litter out back and clean out the cat litter and all that. And during those times, I knew that God had spoke to us to be here, but I was like, God, I cannot believe anybody is showing up. I really could. And we was having a few people. And I really had no vision, but from Sunday to Sunday, and, you know, then I started thinking, we really need a building, but I don't know of any building in town. And so we just kept meeting in our garage. And then one Sunday, and I look back here at Otis, the Kleinsmith family showed up, and Otis and Lena. And so there's a bunch of them. They all showed up together one Sunday. And so immediately we outgrew our house. And I think that particular Sunday we had a fellowship dinner at our house, and so we had people sitting everywhere and out back and out on the back porch and stuff. And so we were like, okay, we need a building. And so I started looking for a building, and we'd go uptown, and I found a building. It was the old Napa store, and we ended up purchasing that and fixing it up. And even then, we had to barricade off places because the floor was falling through in different places. And I was preaching, and there was insulation behind me every Sunday as we were repairing this building. And I still couldn't believe people were coming to church, and they were coming. And then as we were in the church, and then We grew. Donald Lomas gave us the land out here. We said we're going to build the church out here, and we built the church out here. And we got in here the last Sunday of 2008, and then really I say 2009 because it was the last Sunday of 2008, but we got in here in 2009, and we've been in here ever since. And so that's been the growth of the church. It's just, and it started in 2000. Here we are in our 19th year, and this is where we're at. And here recently I had somebody mention, they said that they liked it better when we were on Main Street. And here's what I want to say. Based on the law of progression, what I've just taught you today, we are never going back to Main Street. And everybody said, hallelujah, praise God. We're not. And I say that to say this, because not only in church, but it's also in business, in other relationships, if people don't grow with you, you're going to outgrow them, is what I'm saying. And sometimes that happens in business and different areas, friendships, relationships. If they won't grow with you, then you're going to outgrow them. And it's okay because you're growing. Amen? And we're not going back to Main Street, and everybody said amen. I was going to title this message, "We're Not Going Back to Main Street." This is the law of progression, and this is where you know, I like the good old days too, you know, but the good old days had their problems. If you remember right, you complained back in the good old days, and you know, everybody has the good old days, and I was just thinking about, you know, you get around people, and it's just like, okay, they're 40 years old, but they're still living in high school, okay, it's over, it's time to move on. The law of progression is at work, and so enjoy the journey. Have fun. Enjoy life. Enjoy the journey. And I love, you know, social media when it brings up the memories and stuff. You know, has brought up some memories this week of Taya playing softball. I love that, but I'm glad it's over because I can remember the complaining I had on traveling and parents and dealing with other parents and coaches. And amen. I'm out of that, the law of progression. Now she's married, and we're fixing to have our first grandson. So I like that progression, and I'm ready to be a poppy, ready to be a grandpa. So, you know, and we all laugh at that because, you know, I've heard people, you know, living in the past, living, you know, the good old days and all that. And even in Scripture, when I started out talking to you about the children of Israel, God, here's what you need to know about God in your life. God is taking you to something better. Amen. He is always taking you to something better. And with the children of Israel, he was taking them to something better called the Promised Land, but they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to slavery. It was like, at least we had three good meals back then. Do you remember that they whipped your backs in baking the bricks for the pyramids and all the stuff that was built in Egypt? Do you not remember the taskmasters? Oh, at least we had three good meals. If you'll read it, and I should have got that scripture for you. If you'll read it, they'll be like, at least we had cucumbers and onions. I'm like, who even says that? You know, at least we had cucumbers and onions back there, you know. No, you were in slavery for 400 years. The Bible is cool. And I'm going to tell you, you need to study the children of Israel. There was one time they were complaining that they didn't have meat. And you need to read this story. And I think if you read it out of the King James, it's even more funnier when you read it in the King James. But they were complaining that they didn't have any meat. So God, it says, the Bible sent quail into the camp. And it says this. You need to go read it. That they had so much quail to eat that it was coming out their nostrils, okay? It's in the scripture. Because God was just getting fed up with, I can't get these people to renew their minds. I'm trying to bring them into something better, and I'm delivering them out of Egypt, out of slavery, in the Promised Land, and they want to go back to that. How many times do we do that? I remember the good old days. No, you complained back then. They weren't the good old days. God is always taking you to something better, and you need to remember that. He's always wanting to take you someplace better. All right, here's the last one. The law of progression, the full kernel in the head. That's when it's harvest time, it's ripe, and this is where your life is producing fruit for the kingdom of God. You're growing, you're maturing spiritually, emotionally, mentally, financially, relationally, every area of life. You're maturing, you're growing, and you're influencing others, and that's where God wants us to all get. Now, do you understand why most Christians haven't broke dirt? And I think then when I was praying that one time, God, what do you want from the body of Christ? He was like, I want the body of Christ to grow up. We all need to grow. Well, I do. We all need it. In fact, I'm taking our staff, the people that help us do ministry around here, I'm taking us through a book called Emotional Intelligence to help us grow emotionally. I encourage you to read that book. It's written in a business format, but we're taking it. It'll help you in your marriage, in your business, whatever. We all need to grow. Amen? We all need to grow. And this week I was in a pastor's meeting in Oklahoma City, and we always give time. Our group consists of about 12 pastors in Oklahoma, but we always give time for some of the pastors to bring up a problem or a situation that they might have in their ministry so that the other pastors that are there can speak wisdom into it. And there's one particular guy that's there, a good friend of mine, he brought up, and he's in his 60s, so I'm not too far behind him, and he brought up a situation where he just feels like his ministry's done. It's over. And he's been trying to plant a church, and says so just really not never got off the ground, you know. And he's saying, I've had 75, and I keep 75. And I'm like, welcome to the club, brother. You know, it's not all about numbers. It's all about spiritual growth, and the people are growing and maturing, and all that. But he just feels like that. He's real gifted in worship and stuff, and he just felt like his ministry was over. And it was so neat that the men of God around the table speaking in his life and said, buddy, it's never over. It's never. And God wants you to produce more fruit from the kingdom of God. In fact, in your latter years of your ministry, wants you to start sowing into the younger men and, you know, the younger generation. And here's what, it made me think about this, because I've been there, how that pastor was thinking too. Sometimes we get so locked in that it's just about us, and we don't even see the people around us that we're influencing. our children, people around us, you know, friends, coworkers, whatever it is, but you're always influencing somebody, and you want to be planting the right seeds. Marie came up to me this morning, and she was talking about that she had a situation where she had to go to the doctor last week, and so she had to give blood. And she said that, and she's like me, I don't like needles. But she's also like me that whenever it happens, Will's the same way. Will's like, nope. And I'm the same way, Will. I always joke that my veins go into hiding. Jada says, because you don't drink enough water. But they're in hiding. I don't care what you think, but they're in hiding. But she was telling me the nurse poked her three times. Stuck her three times, and then she was sitting there, and Marie goes, "Lord, help her to find this vein," and said it out loud. And the fourth time, she got it, and that nurse looked at Marie and said, "Thank you for praying." And I told Marie, I said, "Marie, you just sowed a seed. That's sowing the seed and influencing somebody else." Here's my sermon in a sentence. Everybody ready for this? It's as simple as that. Simple as what Marie did, sowing seeds like that with your life. Sermon in a sense, I know I will see the full harvest step by step. It's not going to come leaps and bounds. You go out here, you don't ever see. Just think about this. When you think that you want God to move in leaps and bounds, drive by a wheat field and realize when he puts the seed in the ground, it's not harvest the next day. It takes time. Seed, time, and harvest. I will see the harvest, whatever it is that you're believing for, step by step. I will rejoice as I work and stand in faith in Jesus' name. Man, that's meaning keeping the right attitude, patience. You got to have patience in there. All those good qualities and characteristics working together to see your harvest, whatever you're standing for. And I love, and this is what I'm going to close with. I love what my dad told me this morning. We offer something here every Sunday from my left to my right and back here on this table is communion. And I encourage you, and I know some of you do it during worship and stuff, but I encourage you, as a Christian, go to that table and thank Jesus for what he did at the cross. Yes. And thank him for eternal life. And thank him for your salvation. That's what you do when you go to that table. And my dad told me something, because I kind of told him what I was, you know, what we were teaching on this morning. And he said, I think this might go with your message. But he said, have them look at it this way. Every time you go to that table, when you partake of communion, you're putting Miracle-Gro on the seed. And because you're reminding yourself, it's not about you, it's about Jesus, first of all. It's all that he's done in your life and doing through you. And every time you water that seed with the grape juice that represents his blood and the bread that represents his body, because you can partake of that and claim healing in the name of Jesus for yourself. Because by his stripes you were healed. But that's like putting Miracle-Gro on that seed. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Did everybody learn something today? Yes. Okay. All right. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And before we leave today, and I do this every Sunday, and so I want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and those that are watching on Church's Aid, and those that are watching at hfchurch.com, those that will be listening to this by radio, want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Even if you know Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good and all the time. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Jada, I want you to join me up here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. This blessing is kind of the in-depth blessing that comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Go hug somebody's neck and say, I'm growing. I'm growing.